numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
The opinions expressed by Stuart Venner are not necessarily the views of this station and should be regarded as rantings of a very sick, perverted mind.
This is Stuart Venner. We've got a great show in store for you this week. We're speaking to Todd Carmichael. He's on the Travel Channel, Dangerous Grounds. He's the host of that show about coffee and the things he goes through to get coffee. We're speaking to Sriwreath Khoi. She's a survivor of the Cambodian genocide in the killing fields. We're also going to talk to Jennifer Bagley. She's going to tell us about business technology and 12 steps to success. Not alcoholism, but success. And we're talking to Karen Sherman. She's a marriage counselor, a psychologist, very interesting lady. And finally, we have our regular segment with Fred Claridge, the stock market moron. Please stay tuned. I know you're going to love the show. Folks, welcome back to the show. I am really happy to have Todd Carmichael on the line. Todd has a new television show coming out on the Travel Channel called Dangerous Grounds. Todd is the owner of a chain of coffee shops. I'm going to let him say the name so I don't mispronounce it. Todd, welcome to the show.
I got tricky and did it in French. La Colombe.
La Colombe. Well, that's not so hard. Now, you're kind of like Indiana Jones of the coffee guys, aren't you? I mean, you go into some real dangerous areas.
Very, and my wife says, yes, he's the Indiana Jones and about the same age, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my job in the show, it's fairly simple. I scour the highest grown areas of a band of countries that huddle around the equator for those coffees that aren't just like your average coffees, but are those coffees that that just explode minds.
Fascinating.
The most demanding and best chefs in the country.
That's just fascinating. And what type of coffees have you found that people aren't aware of?
Well, you know, there's the impact of altitude on coffee is extraordinary. Most of the coffees that we have, those 99% of coffees, grow within a belt that's lower growing, that's near civilization. But if you get up to like 7,000 or 7,500 feet in some of these volcanic soil countries, they just completely are extraordinary. I mean, to the point, the one percenters really, or half that. There's a coffee that's growing in Boquete, just outside of like northern Panama, just not too far from the Costa Rica. Not extraordinarily isolated, but high. It's such a beautiful coffee, you have a hard time recognizing it being a coffee. In fact, in auctions right now, it's selling for about, and this is raw, unroasted coffee, right, for about $250 a pound.
Really? What do you sell a cup of that for?
That's what it is. I mean, I guess, you know, for these restaurants, let's say Linea, you know, the number one restaurant in the country that I do in Chicago, it's part of the meal, but that would be about a $40 cup of coffee, I think.
Wow, that's amazing. It must be great.
Yeah, it's way out there. And, you know, coffee is a beverage like other complicated beverages, like wines and beers and alcohols.
Sure, that makes sense.
And they have as many flavor components to them. And although they don't have alcohol in them, they can get just as exotic.
Very interesting. I know many years ago I went into a Seattle's Best in Los Angeles, and they had a sign that they were serving kosher coffee. Now, that blew my mind. How do you make coffee kosher?
I know, right? Well, we all do.
I guess you have to have a circumcised server.
Invite a rabbi over to the warehouse, and you're done. It's like but, you know, coffee, as it's growing and maturing, it's driving it into an area that we can find flavors that just are mind-boggling. I mean, if I look at you and we talk, and you say, listen, I prefer like white wine. It's more of a champagne-y. I like these sorts of fruits. I can go out there, and I'll come back in a couple weeks and brew something for you that matches that.
Fascinating. And so from what I've been reading a little bit about you, you really encounter some danger, don't you, in this quest?
Yeah. Is my wife listening? Often, this part of the world is it's not as safe as back home. You know, there are no police, there's no military, there are really no roads.
Sure. So you find Juan Valdez with an AK-47.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, it's like going back in time in America, it's cowboy land. And the cowboys tend to hide, the bad ones hide in the mountains. And that's
very interesting.
So, like, the first episode, it was a chef named Jean Georges. He's a very famous chef in the culinary world. He was looking for a particular coffee that has red wine components that wanted to be like a Bordeaux, and I knew where to get it. The problem was it was in Guerrero, Mexico, and that's it's a war zone.
Sure.
And we got in, and I ran into some problems, and I managed to get back out with the coffee, and I take you along on that crazy week and a half.
Fascinating. So tell us, your show is called Dangerous Grounds.
That's correct.
And it's coming onto the Travel Channel.
It's the second series, a second year that we've been working with my camera guy, and the second season starts up Tuesday nights, 9:00.
Well, I can't wait to watch it. And before we go, can you tell us a little bit about your own chain of coffee shops? Because I understand you have quite a very successful business.
Yeah, it is. The main roastery is in Philadelphia. I roast about 5.5 million pounds of coffee a year now for the country's very best. I have 10 cafes in Chicago and New York City, Philadelphia, and D.C. Foursquare named us the top 1, 2, 3, and 4 busiest cafes in America. And we simply do it in a very simple way. We don't do food. We don't do anything. I brew coffee that makes you
just
happy.
Good coffee. Do you think you'll be selling your coffee in the markets at all or not?
Yeah, I work with a lot of different companies, Williams-Sonoma, West Elm, Whole Foods, and others. And then my online relationships are really important. I provide coffee to people all over America who really want to experiment with what's possible in coffee.
Fascinating. Well, again, Todd, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We've been speaking to Todd Carmichael, the TV show Dangerous Grounds on the Travel Channel, and it's a fascinating thing. You never realized that coffee was quite as complex as it is. But as you say, it's like wine, fine wine and cheap wine.
Well, that's what we do as Americans, don't we? You know, we push the limit and we discover new things. And,
that's right.
I'm just doing it in a very kind of modest area of coffee.
Well, Todd, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, buyyourtimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for $1, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
After the evacuation from Phnom Penh in the summer of 1975, the cities are deserted. Links to the outside are cut. The borders are sealed. Only rumors make it out. Rumors of an entire population held in slavery. Rumors of torture. Of mass starvation. Of children forced into hard labor. The mass exodus is complete, but for those who survive, the horror is just beginning. Life in the camps is one of unending work, hunger, and fear. Family relations are forbidden, funerals outlawed. Any sign of love or grief brings swift punishment. Even sleep is officially banned, only rest allowed. Children are literally forbidden to love their parents. Instead, they are told that Anka will take care of them. Anka, Pol Pot's all-powerful ruling committee. Anka tells them who to marry, provides the scant handfuls of rice. Anka decides who lives and who dies.
Welcome back to the show. I'm delighted to have Sriwreath Khoi on the line. Sriwreath is Cambodian, and she's actually a survivor of the horrible genocide that was done on the Cambodian people. Sriwreath, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
It is my pleasure. So you actually lived through the Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge massacre of the Cambodian people, didn't you?
Yes, I did. My whole family lived through it, and it was definitely very, very trying circumstances that we survived through.
I can imagine, and I know that people aren't familiar with that. There was a movie out, The Killing Fields, which kind of explained that very well. Pol Pot, he never was brought to justice, was he?
No, not really. He escaped justice, and they did try to bring some of his followers to justice, but nobody really got paid for the crimes that they committed during that time of genocide.
And it was millions of people that were massacred, not just a few. It was millions of people.
Yes, depending on some estimates, some conservative estimates said about 2.5 million. Some other estimates say about 4 million people were killed or died of starvation or exhaustion during that time.
And if I remember right, they killed everyone who was educated, or people even who wore glasses or who were teachers. They wanted to bring it back to virtually the Stone Age.
Yes, yes. If you were suspected of having an education, you were the first to be killed because they wanted an agrarian culture, a new country with agrarian ideals. And if they kill off all the educated people, soon no one would question their authority, and it would be easier to control the country.
And, you know, also, if I'm remembering right, because that was kind of my era, this was during the Vietnam War, and we did nothing to help. The UN didn't, no one did anything to help, did they?
No. Cambodia was all by itself and went through that all by itself during that time. But fortunately, during this time, whenever we have genocide occurring nowadays, when you hear about that, other countries around the world are quick to jump in and help.
Well, that is
so. Maybe we have learned from the mistakes of the past.
I certainly hope so. I actually, wasn't it the Viet Cong? It was the North Vietnamese that stopped it.
I don't know much about the politics of Cambodia. All I know was April 17, 1975, Pol Pot's people, the Khmer Rouge, took over the country and pulled them back into the agrarian culture. And then February 1979, a new prime minister took over, and his people chased out the Khmer Rouge people. And then Cambodia transitioned back into the peaceful time.
Sriwreath, tell us a little bit about what you encountered with your family. I know you were young, but tell us about your mother and what happened in your journey.
Well, the first thing they did, we lived in Phnom Penh, which was the capital of Cambodia during that time, and then the first thing they did was during April 17, 1975, during the Cambodian New Year celebration, while everybody was celebrating the New Year, they came in, took over, and gunmen chased people out of every city and into the forest and into the jungles, and made them work in the rice fields and until they dropped from exhaustion. And some were killed because they disagreed with the regime, or they didn't go along with it, or they were found to be educated. Our family went to, the first village we went to was Prajka, a village deep in the jungles, and then we got transferred. My mom asked them to transfer to Thalian, which was another village in another jungle. And my parents were very hardworking. After they got home from the work in the rice fields and building the dams, they would do further work in the yard and develop a yard and planted tobacco, eggplant, and any vegetables so that they could use it to barter with people. And we exchanged gold for food, just whatever we needed to do to survive.
Unbelievable. And you finally escaped through Thailand, didn't you?
Yes. We escaped to Thailand. My father went there first, and then my mom, my sister, and I, we came with another family. My father had hired a guide to bring us over, and we walked through the jungles of Cambodia through the night to Thailand, to the refugee camps in Thailand.
My goodness, what an amazing story. Can you tell us about the book that you've written?
The book is called Soul of a Tiger, A Miraculous True Story of a Family Who Survived the Cambodian Genocide. It's written from the main character's point of view, Ratchana, which is my mom. I interviewed my mom for this book. And actually, I started the book back in 2008, but I work full-time as a podiatrist. So it's taken me much longer to write a book than a lot of authors can write it in a year or 6 months. But I work full-time, and I write it whenever I have time. And so it's from my mom's point of view about how she survived the killing fields, her amazing journey, and her time. She was born in 1945. So this book carries you through from the peaceful times in 1945, 1960, all the way through the killing fields and after and into the United States. It just transitions through three countries.
I cannot wait to read it. Is it available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble? How can people get it?
Yes, it's available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. It's available in the book form, the Kindle, and the audio as well.
Well, I recommend everyone read this, The Soul of a Tiger. And it's the story of Srireth Khoi and her family's escape from the killing fields in Cambodia. Srireth, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Derp, 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 derp. Maya, he, Maya, who, Maya, ha, Maya, ha, ha. Derp, 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 Maya, he, Maya, who, Maya, ha, Maya, ha, ha.
Get up in the morning from your alarm clock's warning. Take the 15 into San Bernardino. There's a mountain up above, racing vintage for the love. If your courage is bigger than teeny, and if your moto's on time, you can hit the track by 9. To Talladega, turn you, make your way. Acceleration like a rocket if you ran a small sprocket. Hit the throttle and you pull away. And I'll be taking care of business up the hill.
Taking care of business.
What a thrill.
Taking care of business.
Got no fear.
Taking care of business.
And grab another gear. Work out.
Welcome back to the show. I've got a great guest on the line. We're speaking to Jennifer Bagley. She's an expert in business and technology that all businesses really need today. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hello, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, sir.
Oh, my pleasure, Jennifer. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I've got a background in sales supply chain management, operations, and logistics. And for the past 10 years, I have been building and selling and designing companies, and now I own a digital marketing agency, DI Web Group, a consulting agency, sales supply chain consulting, and I've developed a few different programs, one of them being 12-step roadmap to accelerated results, which I know we're going to visit a little bit.
12-step roadmap, is that for alcoholics?
Well, I think there's some similarities between alcoholics and most business owners as far as their
needs. I think you're right there.
Change.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So businesses really need technology today. You can't, unless you're in the Stone Ages, you really can't operate.
Yeah, it's absolutely changed. The way people communicate, the way they research, the way they make their buying decisions, the way they make their referrals, everything has changed. And if you're not leveraging technology, you're really going to have a hard time. You know, it used to be if you were doing the same thing you were 5 years ago, you're not going to be successful today. And now we're saying if you're doing what you were doing last year, you're going to have a hard time being successful next year.
That's right. Even in your personal life, I can't stand that people are always texting me when I just don't know why they don't just pick up a telephone.
You know, it's funny. Everyone is different. You know, I just tell people in business, the worst thing you can do is make your marketing decisions based on what you like and what your preferences are, because you're not trying to sell to yourself. So
you're
you
right
have
there.
To understand that everyone is different, and you have to meet them where they are using the devices and the communication mediums that they love.
You're right there. Now, do you help people with their websites as well?
We do, absolutely. Build integrated websites that are integrated with blogging engines, content distribution engines, and social media networks.
Well, I'm sure you could do a better job than they did for the Obamacare.
Every website on the planet will have problems. That is a guarantee. It's just how quickly you can get them resolved and what's your backup plan.
For a lot less than $600 million, I imagine.
Yeah. I don't know. They've got quite an odd. I don't know if I ever would have built a website and said the entire United States should go visit it today. I probably would have done it by country, by division or by regional section.
Now, tell
us the rollout plan.
What company do you have, Jennifer? Can you tell us the name of your business? The name of your business and how people can find you?
CIWebGroup.com, 12stepRoadmap.com, and JenniferBagley.com.
And that's a book you've written, is that right?
Actually, we're in the process of launching that.
Oh, good. So it's going to be called the 12-Step Roadmap.
12-step roadmap to accelerated results.
For business owners and for alcoholics.
Yeah, you could say that. Well, most sales professionals kind of sit on the fence of that anyway. So.
Now, what? Just briefly, are there any particular tips that you might want to pass on to the audience that they could do, you know, simply in their own business just to try to help them a little bit, aside from just calling you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to really break things down into four different sections. We say technology, strategy, network, and behavior. Do you have the right technology? Are you leveraging an ongoing and changing strategy that is going to help you accomplish your results? Are you surrounding yourself by the right network and creating the right digital persona? And do you have the right behavior, which is your mindset and your actions? What do you do personally? How do you believe? How do you think? Do you give up easily? Are you a pessimist? Are you positive? Are you open-minded? Because in this world, everything is changing. And then finally, as my coach says, without clarity, you cannot focus. Without focus, you cannot execute. And without execution, you cannot win. So the first thing, no matter what, is going to be getting clear on exactly what you want. And then you're going to be able to design a plan that's going to help you get there.
It's fascinating, and it's so important. And I know you briefly mentioned that social networking is so important today.
Yeah, it's hard for me to even say social media. We have hundreds and hundreds of different communication devices and methods. You know, so for some people, it's the phone. For some people, it's text. For some, it's email. My son thinks email's for dead people. I mean, you have entire generations of people that don't use particular types of communication devices. We have entire companies. We have educational institutions that no longer use email. It doesn't exist. In a business environment, it's hard for some business owners to think, how could I run a business without email? And for those people who are already there, they live in a world that communicates without email. So, you don't know what you don't know in any which way, shape, or form. And so social media is another communication device, and you literally have to be so fluid and so pliable that you know exactly how to leverage the right technology depending on who you're talking to, which really stems from a business owner's going to have to start asking some questions they haven't in the past. If they're dealing with a new prospect, if they need a new contact, if they're not at a networking event.
In my business, I have someone actually doing that for me, so people can actually hire someone or get a teenager. They sure know how to do Facebook.
Yeah, and, you know, a teenager, I tell people be careful of the SSS, friends, family, and fools. While they know how to do Facebook, they may not understand the technical aspects
exactly.
of Facebook.
They'll probably post stupid pictures up for your business and ruin
it. Yeah, I mean, they can post content for you, but do they understand EdgeRank and how to meet EdgeRank requirements and what Facebook's algorithm is to post your content? There's so many business owners that are literally living in a rocking chair syndrome where they're moving and they're rocking, but they're not going anywhere. So being on Facebook is not enough. Meeting Facebook's EdgeRank requirements, learning how to convert Facebook fans and engagements into possible prospects for your business.
Well, you really know
measuring
your stuff.
That is a big deal.
You know your stuff. Again, we're talking to Jennifer Bagley. And once again, Jennifer, could you tell people how they could reach you? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that could use your services.
Absolutely. You guys can go to 12steproadmap.com, and I think they created a page for you specifically, which is, it's your initials, I believe. So it's 12steproadmap.com/SVR, and there's a free consultation request on there as well.
Great. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Love will keep us together.
interrupting this song for an important announcement. The captain and Tennille are getting a divorce. Love did not keep them together.
Welcome back to the show. I've got a real great guest on the line. We're speaking to Dr. Karen Sherman. Dr. Sherman is a marriage family counselor. She's going to tell everybody how to keep your marriages together. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Stuart. It's so nice to be with you.
Oh, it's really nice to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
Yeah, I am a licensed psychologist in New York. Been doing this for 25 years. And it's my life, passion, and work to help couples reconnect, feel the feelings that they used to, because they tend to go away because life gets in the way.
Well, that tends to be true. Does Viagra help?
It does, but you still got to have the feelings there. So I want couples to know that even though the feelings seem to disappear, they can come back.
Well, that's wonderful. See, I have a system. I've mentioned this before on other interviews, but I just keep marrying younger women. And now, if I do it again, I'm going to have to go through puberty again with a teenager, so I'm going to keep this one.
Well, that's one way. But some people would like to actually make things work with the partner that they have, and
that
they
is
can
best.
Do that.
That is best. And you can help them do this?
Yes. You know, it's really very simple. The trick is to let your, number one, to prioritize your relationship, which is so hard in this day and age because there's just so much going on. But if you set up time and all it takes is 15 minutes once a week, you don't have to do anything extravagant, you don't even have to leave your house, but you make 15 minutes about the two of you. You can't talk about problems, you can't talk about finances, you can't talk about the kids. It's
That's
totally
nice.
About the two of you.
That makes
Use
a lot of sense.
The technology that gets in the way. To set up the time that is 15 minutes for the two of you. So that's number one.
Okay.
The second thing that you do is you do the things you did at the beginning of your relationship. You know, that very special time.
You mean like the back seat of a car and things like that?
Yeah, exactly. You know? So what was the beginning of the relationship? You let your partner know that you mattered. You know, that they mattered to you.
Well, that's
You appreciated
true.
Them. You ask the question, you actually listen to the answer. You know, you complimented them. You know, and all of those things said, you matter to me. But we forget to do that. We get sloppy. We
well,
get
we
lazy.
Do. We get so wrapped up in other things and we just completely forget about what it used to be like.
Exactly.
That's right.
You know, here's a quick little trick, and it's so easy to do. This is going to take no time at all. when your partner comes into the room, take up your head from what you're doing and smile at them.
Nice.
I am very much a proponent of action-reaction. That's a trademark term that I came up with, which is that based on the way you act, your partner's going to react to you a certain way. Now, we don't have the right to change somebody else, but it's very likely that because of the way you act, someone is going to react to you in kind.
That makes a lot of sense, too. It really does. I mean, you're going to get what you give out, I imagine.
Exactly.
And if you give out a lot of bad vibes and a lot of mean-spirited things, that's what you're going to get in return.
That's right.
That's
right. And, you know, there's some very interesting research, Stuart, that when couples are close to each other, their hearts and brains can read each other's energy from as much as 20 feet away from one another.
That's assuming your wife has a brain.
Or that your guy's got a heart.
That's true. I give you that. That's good.
Listen, you know, I mean, we got to be equal here, right? As I tell my clients, I'm an equal opportunity blamer here.
And I always said in our offices that equal opportunity, we're the home of sexual harassment, but we don't discriminate. Are you married, Karen?
I am, 38 years.
That's a long time.
And as my husband says, 25 of them were good.
That's what I always used to say. I've been married for so long, one happy year.
But you see, there really is some wisdom in what he's saying, that you can't expect that marriage is going to be all wonderful.
No, but 25 of 38 is a good number.
38's a damn good number.
Yes, it is, and 25 good ones out of that is very good.
That's right. You know, you got to know that there's going to be rough spots, and you don't just throw in the towel, you know, right away. You know, the grass looks greener on the other side until you cross over the road, and then you see there's brown spots there also.
That is very true. The dog always goes on the other side of the fence, too.
Yeah, that's
even though the
exactly
grass might
look
greener.
Use that one. I'm going to use that one.
Karen, you have a book or several books you've written. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. The one book that I have that is really relevant here is Make Your Marriage Work. I'm combining two different books.
That's
here.
Okay.
Marriage Magic, Find It, Keep It, and Make It Last. What I was starting to tell you about, because I'm really excited about this, is my new website called Make Your Marriage Work Now. And I'm just so excited about it because here's what I realized. As we started to say at the beginning of the podcast, lots of things happen in life that just get in the way of couples having the time, the energy, or the money to get the tools that they need. So what I realized is, why not get the help to couples in the comfort of their home and where, you know, they can just look at this stuff when they've got the time to do it. So Make Your Marriage Work Now is a membership site where I bring them very, very comprehensive information every month. I actually do a training through video once a month. And I'm not going to just leave them in a lurch. It's not just information. They can actually have access to me because
so
once
you're
a
available
month, they
in case
get
of
on
an
a call
emergency
with me.
Or a problem.
I'm sorry?
So you're available to them if they have a problem
right.
or need you.
That's right.
That's wonderful. Now, Karen, is it a .com?
Yes, it
so
is.
So it's makeyourmarriageworknow.com.
Yes.
And I think that's fascinating, and I'm going to go on it myself, and I'm going to have my wife go on it so she can be nice. I'm always nice.
And maybe
so.
We can get past the 1 year mark.
That's right. Well, I've already passed that. We've passed two already, so that's good.
You're on a roll.
I know. I'm on a roll. Karen, this is Dr. Karen Sherman again, folks that we're speaking to. MakeYourMarriageWorkNow.com. She's a fascinating lady, and any of you that are married, I think you need her because you're going to have hills and valleys, and you need to get out of those valleys. Karen, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Maya,
derpity derp 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 derp
derp derp derp derp special.
Fred was kind with good intent, but just a little different. Oh, special Fred. Mama dropped him on his head. Now he's not so bright instead. He's a little bit special. Just
welcome back to the show. We have a regular scheduled interview with Fred Claridge, the stock market moron. As you remember, Fred lost over $1 million in one day. Fred, welcome to the show again.
It's always my pleasure, Stuart. Thank you.
Thank you. What insight do you have for our listeners? What should they be buying
or
selling?
I really want all of the women who are listening, get out there, ladies, and buy that darn Lululemon. My loss on that keeps expanding. I mean, this is one of the losers of the century.
You're still pitching those yoga clothes.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and really, if you want to turn on your boyfriends or husbands, I think they still have those models you can see through.
That's for fat women, right?
Hurry up. But there's one today that I think everybody's got to look into, and that is Apple. The Apple Corporation came out yesterday with earnings that I guess disappointed a little bit. And the stock went down maybe 8 or 9%. Carl Icahn tweeted out today that he bought some more stock. I think Apple is a great, just a great investment.
God, you know, this one time you're saying something that makes sense, and I'm almost tempted to take your advice, but I know if I do the opposite of what you say, I'll probably make money. This is really, you've put me into a conundrum, Fred.
Is that something that you wear for sex?
I think so. Well, how did your portfolio progress last week?
Oh, it's I'm telling you, it's going down like I can't even tell you what it's like. You know, sometimes they say keep your head above water. It's too late.
Well, you know, I think for one time, maybe if you invested your money in Apple computers instead of yoga pants, you might have a better chance.
Well, at least with Apple, I can get to the core of the problem.
Well, that's good. Well, Fred, thank you very much. Next week, we'll talk and we'll see how you did
I did hear about one dynamite new company that I want to alert people to. It's called, AMFM240.com. I think if this thing ever gets some crowdfunding and has some investments, I'm not going to buy it, but I think that everybody out there should run out and invest in that one.
Well, as long as you don't buy it, it'll be a winner. Fred, thanks again for coming on the show.
I guarantee I will buy it. I guarantee you I will stay away from that puppy.
We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.
I love it. Thank you, my friend.
Derp, 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 derp,
Folks, welcome back to the show. I am thrilled to be speaking to George Santino. George is a former Microsoft executive, and now he is pursuing his career as a singer, a songwriter, and I think he's the new Rat Pack. Is that right, George?
That's right. You know, it was one of those cases where, you know, after 20 years of working at Microsoft, it was time to leave the rat race and join the Rat Pack.
I think that is great. You're doing your passion, and you're doing what you like to do.
Yep. That's for sure.
Now, are you kind of emulating the Rat Pack and their type of music?
Yeah, I mean, that's the style of music I grew up with. I mean, when I was a kid, my father would only listen to Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. and those guys.
Oh, I'm with you there. I am with you there. I actually went to school with Dean Martin's daughter, Claudia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of his daughters, Claudia. She passed away, unfortunately. But I did. I went to school with her all through high school. But I don't think he was really the drinker that they said he was.
I think that was probably part of the act that they put forth, the persona that they had.
I think so. Tell us a little bit about your music and what you're doing.
Well, you know, after I started singing at a very, very young age, and I always wanted to be a professional singer, but that's a hard career to try to start. There are, frankly, a lot of people out there who can sing well, and so I ended up getting a job because I realized I like to eat as much as I like to sing, so I thought I'd better get a job, and it was always a passion that I wanted to return to, and fortunately, I worked for a good company in Microsoft that let me retire when I was 55 years old and get back into music. So initially, I just started recording, you know, cover songs of a bunch of old Sinatra songs like "Come Fly with Me" and "That's Life," and you know, just for the fun of it. And when my producer said, "Hey, you ought to release these songs," we took our first recording of "That's Life" and put it on Amazon, and it was the number one hot release for a couple of weeks in swing jazz, and is still the second most favorite song on Amazon in that category.
That is fabulous. You must be very good, I tell you, because you don't get that way if you're not good.
It's a question of, I don't know if I'd like to think I'm pretty good, but I think it's when you're doing something that you love, when your passion, you can't help but do a decent enough job for people to enjoy it. And
have you had training in singing, or is it all?
No, I had never taken singing lessons. But when I went up until that point, when I first went to the producer to say, "Hey, I want to record some songs," he asked me to sing, and he said, "Okay, you sing fairly well, but you don't have any breath control. You ought to go take some vocal lessons to learn how to breathe better." And so that was the first time in my life I actually had a vocal coach for a little while.
It's important. I mean, there are a lot of things that you can learn, and there's a big difference between the amateur and the professional.
Yeah, I think so. I had, you know, you've heard for years about breathing from the diaphragm, but frankly, I didn't even know what that meant until I went to a vocal coach and said, you know,
sure,
I'm getting ready to hit a big note, and I'm taking in a big breath into my chest. And he goes, "No, breathe into your stomach." And I go, "Is that where my lungs are?"
Yeah, I know. My mother was a professional singer, so I'm familiar with this. She was she backed up Kate Smith in God Bless America.
Oh, yeah, I'm originally from Philadelphia, so we'd see Kate Smith singing during the Philadelphia Flyers games.
And my mother did a lot of the stuff in the Gershwin story, and I remember, well, I don't remember, but stories I was told that Kay Kaiser wanted to take her on the road, and my grandfather hit the ceiling. He says, "No daughter of mine is going to go on the road with a bunch of musicians who smoke dope," so instead he took Jenny Sims, and my mother retired and had me.
Well, that worked out for you, then.
It worked out for me. I probably wouldn't be here. A lot of people would probably be happy about that. Where are you singing, George? Where can people hear you? Are you singing live anywhere?
Well, I'm in Tampa right now, you know, basically visiting family and checking the place out because we want to get a winter place here. But most of the time I live in up in Seattle, Washington, and I sing at a number of restaurants, mostly Italian restaurants in town up there, and of course my music, my CD "Come Fly with Me" is on Amazon, as well as my new one, "The Magic of Christmas," which is a song I wrote.
Really?
And then I started writing some more music, you know, as "The One That Got Away," I think, is the song you guys are going to play, and so I'm working on the third CD, and this one's actually going to have six original songs I wrote, as well as six covers, and so that'll hopefully be out in the next next couple of months.
You're writing music that people want to hear, not just a lot of screaming and hollering and rapping.
You know,
it's
interesting because you listen to a lot of the music today, and I wonder why they even bothered to write lyrics, because you can't understand what they're saying.
No question.
You know?
No question.
There doesn't seem to be a story there that they're trying to tell. And the old songs, right, the old Sinatra songs, there's a story to those music, to that music, and you not only have to sing it well, you have to act it well. You have to feel the part and get that emotion across.
No question.
Not just, you know, hit the notes.
A good my closest friend in high school's father was Hal Adamson, who was a lyric writer who wrote Around the World and Affair to Remember, Everything I Have Is Yours. And yeah. I used to go to Christmas parties at their home. And, oh, my God, Sammy Fain would be there, Harry Ruby, Meredith Wilson. I mean, these people knew how to write music. And they would all do their own songs. It was thrilling. They're all gone now, but it was a lot of fun.
No, it's a fun thing to do. I mean, you start with a story, something from your own life that had some meaning to it. And the interesting part is you just sit down and you write that story, you capture it, and then you got to go back and then start to make it rhyme. And that's the challenge of, you know, how do I tell this story in a way that it rhymes?
Well, you can make up words if you're a rap singer. You can just make up words that'll rhyme.
Yeah, that's right. And my music, you don't make up words because it's jazz, it's easy listening, well, adult contemporary. You know, it's the kind of music that I hope
George, can you
enjoy.
Tell the folks out there how they can hear your music and find out more about you?
Well, they can very easily just go to georgeasantino.com. That's my website. There are links on it to where you can buy my music. There's actually a number of songs there you can just listen to for free. You know, for me, it was this new career is about singing and having fun and getting the music out there, not necessarily, you know, trying to start a second career and make a living at it, but just have fun at it. So most of my music is out there, and people can listen to it at their leisure. And
well, I can't wait to go on the site myself, and I want to hear some good music for a change. So everybody out there, go to georgeasantino.com, and you'll hear George's music, and you'll see what George looks like, and you'll see the new Rat Pack.
I wet myself. Aren't you ashamed?